And he's an award-winning writer known as one of Canada's best-selling sci-fi authors who's released his first Canadian Audible original title. It's called The Downloaded. Robert J. Sawyer joining us on Canada Now. Robert, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
What a pleasure, Jeff. Nice to meet you as well.
Well, thank you. Now, The Downloaded, it takes place in 2059, where two vastly different groups of people, a group of astronauts and convicted murderers and volunteers, undergo cryonic suspension, and while their bodies are frozen, their minds, still active and awake, are uploaded into a massive quantum computer, and when they're automatically awakened, downloaded, they discover they are all that remains of humanity and face a new crisis. A colossal asteroid is on a collision course with Earth. I mean, that is dialing up the sci-fi to 11. I love it, Robert.
Well, thank you. But, you know, the interesting thing about positioning this, because it was going to be and is an Audible original, which is free to anybody in the Audible catalog, Audible Plus catalog. If you have an Audible subscription, it's free. Is we had to also make something that would be broadly accessible to people. So you're right. It's filled with big, mind-blowing science fictional ideas, but grounded very much in a way that those who are not habitual science fiction fans will still be able to get into the characters and understand everything. So yeah, there are lots of big ideas, but nothing is recondite, going over people's heads. It's very easy to follow. And yet, I like to think, very exciting and emotionally engaging.
Well, but that's you, Robert. I think that's your writing in a nutshell, because your mission statement for your writing is, quote, to combine the intimately human with the grandly cosmic. How are you so successfully able to blend science and tech with ethical and philosophical questions?
So that's a great question, because you're exactly right. Science fiction is famous for really doing the grandly cosmic and giving short shrift to the human component of it. I happen to have a degree in broadcasting, but my minor from Toronto, what we now call Toronto Metropolitan University, used to be Ryerson, and I'll always be in my heart Ryerson. But my minor was in psychology, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the way different people perceive the world. And what I always say, I teach creative writing occasionally, is that the art of writing is simply dramatizing psychological principles. You have to understand what makes people tick, what they're thinking, which might be very, very different from what you're thinking and what you're experiencing, how they got to be where they are. So science fiction is not normally thought of as an empathetic literature, but my goal has always been to bring empathy, to bring really, you know, if you can get into understanding some six-limbed creature that breathes methane from Alpha Centauri, surely you can get into understanding your brothers and sisters across this planet.
Well, and it's so odd, because with sci-fi, with your work as well, you would be looking to go to a different world. But at the same time, you're also looking to combat whatever issues you might be dealing with. And in the end, finding some hope in the stories that you're seeking out through Robert J. Sawyer and through sci-fi itself.
Now, that's interesting you say finding some hope, because the most popular kind of science fiction right now, and ironically with young people in particular, is dystopian science fiction about bad futures that you would think we all want to avoid. But, you know, if you take The Hunger Games or Divergence, any of these popular properties, they're all about, it's bad now. You think it's bad now, it's going to get really worse. But I'm an optimist. And one of the hallmarks of my science fiction has always been to think that today's pretty good, tomorrow is going to be even better. So even when you gave that litany of things that go into The Downloaded there, a pending asteroid, the only survivors left, nonetheless, this is a story, The Downloaded, about redemption and hope. And hopefully at the end, what I want is people to feel uplifted by the listening experience.
Well, and also, like, one of those philosophical questions that you tackle in The Downloaded, fate versus free will. I mean, between biology, environment, culture, how many of our choices are truly our own?
This is one of the things that absolutely fascinates me, because in modern physics, most physicists would say we don't have free will. The fact that this particular moment at which you and I are talking right now, Jeff, seems to be now to us, is just an arbitrary conceit of our two minds. But the past, we mostly agree, is fixed. Most people would agree, I really regret the horrible things I've done in the past or that have been done to me in the past, but they're fait accompli, nothing I can do about them. We think psychologically that the future, on the other hand, is completely wide open and malleable. But most modern physicists would say that we just live in this solid block. The past is already carved in that block. The future is too. And just this little, almost like a cursor, this pointer that we call now, just moves up that block. But nothing can be changed. Well, we rebel against that as what we think of as active agents in the world, human beings with a control over our destiny. And yet, now we're talking in November, end of November. So in just over a month, people will be announcing their New Year's resolutions for 2024. What do you want to bet that by June, despite free will supposedly being a thing, almost nobody will have adhered to those resolutions? Mm. These philosophical questions fascinate me.
Yeah. By the way, a quick aside, I once did a New Year's resolution and I was, I think, 9 years old and I swore off candy for a whole year and I did it, Robert. Can you imagine a 9-year-old swearing off candy for a year?
Well, I mean, congratulations
Thank
to you.
It's my greatest accomplishment.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It would be wonderful if we could actually, just by an effort of will, say we're going to be better people or we're going to give up our vices and just boom, it's done.
Yeah.
You mentioned philosophy a couple of times in your questions. Yeah. And although my field is called science fiction, and indeed I'm a proud science fiction writer, my Ontario vanity license plate is SF. Writer for science fiction writer. But I think the field is misnamed. I really think this field should have been called philosophical fiction because it is the genre of exploring these big, heady ideas that we all kind of, the back of our mind, wonder about, but never get to explore in our day-to-day lives in any real depth. And so instead of it being called sci-fi, I'd like it to be called fi-fi, philosophical.
Fi-fi, I love that. So what inspires you most in writing a new story? I mean, is it new technology? Is it politics? What is it? Is it anything that happens in the news?
So that's very astute, because it is exactly what happens in the news. Before I tell you what inspired The Downloader, let me get my... One of my favorite science fiction films of all time is Planet of the Apes from 1968, the original, not the Tim Burton remake.
Yeah.
That film, if you actually watch it as an adult today, you'll realize immediately that it's about only two things. And those two things were the front page headlines of almost every newspaper in the West in 1967, the year the film was made, came out early in 68. And those are race relations and the fear of nuclear war. And race relations is being done metaphorically in Planet of the Apes. The fear of nuclear war is being done right on the nose in Planet of the Apes. But I always say, again, when I teach creative writing, that science fiction is never about the year it's putatively set in. So as you said, the opening of The Download is putatively set in 2059.
Yeah.
No, it's about the year in which it was written. And I wrote The Downloaded during the COVID-19 pandemic. And actually, when I was pitching it to Jolice Beaton, who's the head of Audible Originals for Canada, I said, look, what I want to write about is this reality that right now we're all living as if we've uploaded our consciousness. We all are no longer going out to restaurants. We're ordering in from Uber Eats or Skip the Dishes. We're no longer going into the office. We're Zooming in or telecommuting. We're no longer seeing our friends to have a beer or a coffee. We're talking to them by instant messenger or some kind of video app. But it's all going to come crashing down and we're going to be forced back into physicality when the pandemic ends. Now, when I pitched that to Jolice, we all thought the pandemic would be over in 6 months. We didn't expect people to be so stubborn and stupid that they would expand it for, to end up being a couple of years of hell for everybody and still lingering on at this point.
Yeah.
But that was the notion, was what's going on right now? What's the number one thing affecting the world right now? COVID lockdown. And so science fiction, instead of being this far out genre that has escaped from reality has always been, in ambitious work at least, a way of taking a mirror that might distort a little bit, but focusing very clearly on what's happening right now.
Well, and with what you have with The Downloaded, here you are, you write this, and then you have this amazing cast saying your words. What's it like for you to hear The Downloaded?
Unbelievable. You know, and you mentioned the amazing cast. Let's name the top performers there. Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Who won the Academy Award for Best Lead Actor for The Whale.
Yeah.
In fact, Greg Sinclair, who directed The Downloaded, who used to be the head of radio arts and entertainment at the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Greg and I were brainstorming, who do we want for the main character, who's an Armenian guy named Roscoe Kadoulian. Greg said, you know who would be perfect? He said, Brendan Fraser. Oh, that'd be wonderful. And so we put that name forward. And then, of course, Greg and I were delighted for Brendan Fraser. Don't get us wrong, when he won the Oscar. But we said to him, say, well, we better start drawing up our B list. And we went to Audible, and Audible said, no, what difference does that make? I said, well, his price just went up enormously. And they said, hold my beer. They went after him, and they got him. So Brendan Fraser. We have one of the characters in the Downloaded is an astronaut doctor, but fancies himself as a bit of a stand-up comic. So he's always saying things like, you know, I'm here all week, and don't forget to tip your waiter, right? So they booked Luke Kirby,
yeah.
Canadian actor, Hamilton, Ontario is where he's from. But Luke won an Emmy and was nominated twice more for the Emmy for playing the stand-up comic Lenny Bruce on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And for the female lead, the main female character is an African-American starship captain. They got Vanessa Sears. Vanessa is next year she's playing Juliet in Romeo and Juliet at the Stratford Festival. She was on Broadway this past few months, just finished a run there. Dora Maver Moore, the top Canadian Theatre Award. Dora Maver Moore award-winning actress. Plus, we have Andrews Fung from Kim's Convenience, the great Canadian theatre legend Colm Feore. Everybody remembers him playing Pierre Trudeau in the miniseries Trudeau. Oh, my God, what an incredible cast. And to get to your point, to hear them read my words was a dream come true. It was astonishing to hear, you know, I like to think there's the nuances on the page, but a really good actor finds things that the author never even put in there. And we had really good actors.
Yeah. Oh, it's a dynamite cast, as you've highlighted. So I wanted to go back with your becoming a writer. How much did having two university professors for parents have to do with your becoming a writer?
It was the opposite, because both of my parents were statisticians. My dad was an econometric statistician. And when I told them, because my original career goal was to be an academic, he had brought up in that environment. My interest was paleontology, study of fossils. Yeah. But right up through the end of high school, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And my dad nodded, yes, that's fine. And then I said, nah, you know what, I'm going to be a writer. So now this was way back in the 70s when you couldn't get any piece of information just at your fingertips at home. But he was at the University of Toronto. He was a statistician. He went into the computer records of Statistics Canada and printed out the average income of writers in Canada and just handed it to me. Didn't say a word.
Yeah.
Just handed it to me. And of course, he was trying to dissuade me.
Sure.
But he very rightly thought would be a precarious and unlikely to be rewarding financially career.
Yeah.
I usually took my dad's good advice, but not that time. I said, nope, I got to give this a shot. And I've been so, so lucky because there are people out there who work as hard as I am, do, and are as talented as I am, or more so, who haven't had some of the lucky breaks I've had.
Yeah.
But it worked out just fine. That said, so many of the characters I write about are academics or university professors. One of the characters that are the most fun writing in The Downloaded, Amelia Pereira is the actress who performs her, is a British astrophysics professor who's also a nut bar and full of conspiracy theories named Jamila Chowdhury. And Amelia just went absolutely to town with the kind of over-the-top performance. It's just a joy to listen to.
Well, and with what was going on at the time and what you would have watched as far as entertainment is concerned and how that inspired your getting to sci-fi, or fi-fi, as we should be calling it, watching Star Trek at the time, Star Trek being very big at the time. I mean, all the Apollo missions that were televised and very well covered in the news, would all of that have inspired you?
You hit two of the big three for me. Star Trek, absolutely. Now, when Star Trek premiered in 1966, I was 6 years old, and my parents thought it was, you know, I was too young. But I used to sneak down, and I got to see my first Star Trek episode, famously The Devil in the Dark, the one with the Horta, in 1967 when it first aired, because my brother, who was 6 years older than me, was allowed to watch it. And I fell in love. The next day, I made the Starship Enterprise out of Lego as a six-year-old, at that point, almost seven-year-old kid. Also, in 1968, my dad took me to 2001, A Space Odyssey. I was probably the youngest kid in the theater, but I was absolutely entranced by that. And also by the year in the title. I was born in 1960. So the math, even for, you know, an eight-year-old is easy. If your birth date starts with a zero, okay. 1960 to 2000, that's 40. 2001, 41. By the time I'm 41, which was younger than my dad was at that time, these are the miracles of my life. Artificial intelligence. Cryonic suspension of the astronauts aboard Discovery, which very much figures in the Downloaded. Interplanetary travel, cities on the moon, all of that. And as you mentioned, the third one, I mean, you could not be a kid with any kind of geeky bent, and I certainly had that, in the 60s and not be enthralled by Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, the three space programs of the American space programs of that era.
Do we give an honorable mention to the television show on NBC that aired for just a year? It was in from September 72 to August 73, called Search. Burgess Meredith was the director of probe control in this show. I mean, what an odd choice.
Well, it was a fascinating choice. for me, it was a mission control-like center, which Burgess Meredith oversaw, that sent agents out into the field to recover things that had gone missing. They were a private corporation who would be hired to recover a missing set of diamonds, a kidnapped diplomat, a moon rock in one of the best episodes. And I absolutely loved it because it presaged the World Wide Web by several decades. Everything they were doing, which was the idea that back at this headquarters, Burgess Meredith and his team of IT specialists would find almost instantly whatever the field agent needed to know, or provide an instantaneous translation into a hidden earpiece of what the other person was saying. It was a glimpse of the future, a very, very prescient. The guy who created it was the same guy who created The Outer Limits, which was, for my money, even better than The Twilight Zone from classic 60s, anthology science fiction series. His name was Leslie Stevens.
Oh, by the way, 2001 A Space Odyssey, how many times have you seen it?
So I only count the times I've seen it on the big screen, on an actual big screen, 28.
28 times?
28.
Wow.
Yes. In the 70s, the Ontario Science Centre in Toronto used to have a Friday night science fiction film festival. And they had one of the best 70-millimeter theatres. It still had the theatre, but they don't use it much anymore, in the entire city, in the entire country, for that matter, with steeply banked sets, seats. Nobody's head was in front of you.
Right.
And they did a science fiction film every Friday night. But the first Friday of each month for a year and a half, it was always 2001. And I went with the young lady who ended up being my my wife. And we, you know, I think she lost interest after about viewing number three. But I said, no, we got to go see it again. So I've now seen it 28 times. So there were some revival showings for the 50th anniversary, obviously, in 2018.
Yeah.
And it was at Cinesphere at Ontario Place and other places. So now my Hit count is 28. I love that film.
28 times and counting.
That's right.
His first Canadian Audible original title is The Downloaded. It's by Robert J. Sawyer. Robert, what an honor to meet you and to get to speak with you at great length. I really appreciate this, Robert. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jeff. Live long and prosper.
Thank you. There is Robert J. Sawyer.